Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we are excited for another day of grace. And we're just thankful for the people that are here, thankful for the ones that are listening on the internet. And most of all, we're thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to this earth and died and was buried and rose again for our sins, for our salvation. Amen. If you have your book, we'll be singing number 15, I Know Whom I Believe. Four today. Genesis chapter 4. We're in lesson 31, if you've been following along. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1 says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bared his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now, you think about this. You know what professions are? Mm-hmm. You know what the first two professions are in the Bible?
Looks like sheep keeping and ground tilling.
That's exactly what it is. A farmer and a what? A shepherd.
Yeah.
And one is a shepherd and the other is a farmer. Verse 3 says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Now, the next few verses will be the classic study of religious apostasy. You know what apostasy is? Many of you do. Okay? And the first thing you'll see is human history, the religion apostasy right here. And you're going to see the way of Cain, and you'll see Abel, a righteous man who walks by faith. And you see a study of religion right here. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Take the first three chapters of Genesis and the first three chapters of Romans, and you can find out why we are the way we are. And when you look at people out there, they may be religious, right? But they can be religious as lost. And religion is returned to bondage. And it starts right here. And this is a classic. Religion and spiritual issues never get beyond Cain and Abel. And you will learn a lot here as we go through this. You'll get knowledge and a doctrine to rest in. But the issues will always be the same. Two men in the field identify it to you. The shepherd and the farmer. And Genesis 4:3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Notice Cain knew when to come, didn't he? Mm-hmm. How did he know that? It says, in the process of time. So he knows he'd been coming there and coming there and coming there. Who brought him there?
His father.
His parents know what to bring to a sacrifice. His parents brought it all the time. He brought an offering unto the Lord. He knew where to go with it. He knew what he's supposed to do, bring an offering to the Lord. Now, I'm looking over at the offering plate this morning, the offering box. We don't have a plate. And I see an offering of a farmer's thing this morning. Somebody brought green beans. Right? And what else was it?
Zucchini.
And I told Barbara, I said, you put an offering plate, it's a storehouse, you know, just jokingly. But there's an offering there. And it came out of the ground, didn't it? And that's a good offering because green beans is good. And if you like zucchini, you can eat zucchini. But Genesis 4:3. But he knew what to bring. He knew exactly what to bring. He's supposed to bring what his daddy taught him to bring. And 4:4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. It talks about his countenance falling, doesn't it? You know what that means? He's depressed. He looks sad, down in the dumps. Oh, woe is me. Why didn't God look at this? You know, and you look at that type of thing. He had that long face look about him that he didn't bring it to him. And you know, and this is what depression and sadness, rejection does. You know, we look to people, we talk to people all the time, depressed, don't they go like this all the time, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Just down in a dump. You're like, pick yourself up. Well, I'm too sad. Nobody likes me, and that type of thing. And the reason for it was that God had respect to Abel, but not to Cain. Notice, Cain brought his offering first. In the process of time, verse 3 says, Cain brings the offering. In verse 4, Abel also brings it, brought. Cain is the religious man right there. And he knew when to come. He knew what to do and where to bring it. That place they brought it is in Genesis 3:24. That the place is a present where God was in the presence of the Lord, right there at the cherubims. That's where he brought them. And he knew what to bring because of Genesis 3:21. We looked at that already. God had instituted the necessities of a substitute, the blood sacrifice. So he knew what to bring and where to bring it. But what did he bring? He brought his religious goodness about him. Both of these boys are sinners, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And both are guilty. You're born that way. Mm-hmm. And both are under the sentence of death. They're going to die. You're going to die. But what do you not want to do?
Die unsaved.
Die unsaved, but not that. You don't want to die the second death. That's what you don't, and it's coming. But we that are saved will not have that second death. Death and hell gives up the dead over here, and they go and spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's that second death the Bible talks about. And go to Hebrews chapter 4. I mean, Hebrews chapter, leave your marker there. But if you want to more information, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, you'll find out something very important about what is going on that you don't read in Genesis. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Notice it was by what?
Faith.
Faith that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That is, Abel brought the sacrifice that God would accept. You know, over and over and over, people bring sacrifices to God that he don't accept. You ever thought about that? You think about these religious crowds out here, comes up there all the time, the way they're dressed, the way they talk, the way they bring stuff. You think that's pleasing to God? Or are they walking around, look at me. Look how holy I am. They don't want you there. You ever notice that? You ever notice that if you're not dressed a certain way or talk a certain way, then certain crowds don't want you around? That's true in churches. That's true in churches. It was the one God wanted, and he did it by faith. So then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing what? The word of God. Faith don't come by seeing. It comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And you think God spoke to Adam and Adam related to his kids what to do?
Yeah.
Yes, most definitely. Therefore, you understand that Abel and Cain had to have some doctrine communicated into them by their father and mother. And Adam and Eve accepted the free gift from God to cover their nakedness in Genesis chapter 3. They didn't fight that. They accepted it. And God had to kill an animal, a substitute, shed his blood, took the skins, and gave the covering to Adam and his wife, a free gift, right there. And they, by faith, accepted that free gift from Almighty God and the covering of their nakedness. And they communicated that information to the boys, and Adam responded that by faith. He said, okay. This is what God wants. I accept it, and this is what I'm going to do. Genesis 4:4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Notice that the Lord had respect unto Abel's first and then unto his what?
Offering.
His offering was accepted because of him. He had respect unto Abel. Don't sometimes we want respect on some things. As old as we are, you still look for respect, don't you? You know, you think about people walking up to you and they like, you know, they want to kick you by the curb, and you're like, hey, where's your respect for the elders? That type of thing. I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I was in a truck stop the other day. And I come out of the restroom, and a guy was out in front of me, and we're going out the main door. And I don't know how you guys feel, but if I'm going through a door, I'm walking circumspectly. I want to see who's behind me, because I'm going to hold that door open for him. And the guy goes out in front of me, and just opens it up enough to where he can go through it, and it come down on me, and I stuck my foot in the door, you know, stop it. I said, thank you. He said, oh, I let it go too quickly. I said, I said, you didn't look at it. You know, like he just worried about getting out the door. Now, he's older than I am. I could tell. You know, he had hair and jet black hair and all that stuff. But anyway, what I'm getting at is fact that nobody has respect for somebody behind you or in front of you. So I've always tried to leave the door open. Or if I see somebody coming, they might be, you know, 15 feet away, I'm going to hold that door for them, that type of thing. So there's a respect value that you can gain from people, you know, that type of thing. You want to be who you are in Christ Jesus and give him the respect and God the respect, and it was going to work in you where people see, wow, you know, I respect what you say. I respect what you do. He accepted Abel's because he had came by faith, therefore he accepted his offering. And he demonstrated Abel's accountants by receiving Abel's offering. And we'll look at that in a little bit. But Cain, on the other hand, brought the fruit of the ground, didn't he? In Genesis 3:17, the ground is cursed. Got to remember that. Hey, is the ground still cursed today?
Yep.
Do you have to, when you put out a garden, don't you have to till it and you work it and stuff, or you just throw the seeds out there and say, have at it, Lord, plant it, it's out there. You have to cultivate. It's just like the ministry. You know, when you're out there talking to people and you're planting seeds and they're coming to you and you're watering, God gives the increase. But you got to cultivate that in order to bring it in here and where they can grow. And each of us is at different levels, but the ground is cursed. The curse is the ground for thy sake. He brings the fruit of his own labor. Cain came his own way. Jude 11 talks about the way of Cain. The way of self-will. He brought the works of his own hands. Now, many of us worked with our hands in the past. We work with our hands today. And your labor and what you do, you're very skillful. And you look at it and like, wow, look what we just did with our hands. But that ain't got nothing to do with pleasing with the Lord. That's pleasing not only yourself, you're pleasing the people you're working for or the job you're doing. Don't you want to do a good job, Jacob, when you do that? Don't you want people to say, hey, man, I want Jacob to come back. But there's some people out there like, hey, I'm coming here to do this job, and they do it and get out of there, and you never want them back in there again. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, our daughters went through that, painting the house. And the guy would paint it, used one type of paint on one side and use another type of paint on the other side, and it was horrible, right? And, you know, they kept talking to him and talking to him, I'll make it right. He never did make it right. In fact, he's in prison right now. But the thing is, you got to do the job that you're assigned for and do it right. And, you know, it might look like a mess when it starts, but with that finished product, you want it very pleasing, don't you? And he brought the works of his own hands. Here comes Cain with an armload of his own works produced off of a cursed ground, and he's going to offer those things unto the Lord. That's the difference. Religion will do that. Still today, the people you talk to, the people I talk to, constantly, it's what I do for the Lord. Now, they might not really admit that or say that, but that's what they're doing. And you got to remember that what's the difference between Cain and Abel, the two men in the field. The two men is in the temple were the Pharisees and the publicans in Luke chapter 18. And there's a difference between them. The two men on the hill were two thieves between Christ was crucified. What is the difference? The difference in all three of these situations is that one man was accepted, the other man was what? Rejected. One man accepted, one rejected. One accepted, one rejected. Why? What are we looking at?
Why? Because it brought the wrong offering.
It brought the wrong offering. And the attitude of those men had towards the blood was the difference. With me? That thief on that cross believe Christ. And after that, Christ took them down, had them circumcised, had them baptized, had them join the church, the first gospel church in Jerusalem, and set them down there with his W-2 and took all his money and built that church, right? Y'all know the story? No. He said, today you will be with me in where? By just trusting that. And other people's like, come down. You say you're God, that type of thing. The two men on the cross, the attitude that was towards Jesus Christ dying between them made the difference. The two men in the temple, the Pharisees claiming, I'm glad that I'm not this guy. In Luke chapter 18. I'm glad I do this and do that. I'm offering all of this that I do. The publican says, God be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. And the word merciful in the Greek, if you will, it's that word mercy seat. He walks by the temple and says, God, you remember that blood on that mercy seat in there, not what I'm doing. What do we do today? You come up here at the altar and you offer your sacrifice to God, right? That's what we, every Sunday we offer altar call. Is that what we do here? No. Do you go by and think, Lord, thank you for your sacrifice on that Calvary. And that's acceptable. And you apply that, he applies that to your sin debt, and you're there. That blood sacrifice is very, very important. And he walks by the temple, it says that. Cain and Abel, what's the difference? Cain, religious, was too refined to the shed blood. Cain's religion is. It wasn't too high-minded not to kill his brother, but it was too refined to shed blood. You hear what I said? Mm-hmm. He didn't want to shed the blood on an animal. But he's going to kill his brother. He's going to shed blood anyway, isn't he? He's going to be the bloodless religion, what that is, that works. Talk to people all the time, off and on, about some things, about what do you trust in. And you know, it seems like 8 out of 10 people will work all the way around that cross without hitting that cross that Christ died for my sins and burying rose again. Talk to them. Ask them. Don't get offended with what they say. You'll know where they're at. Hey, what do you trust in to get to heaven today? And if you want to know, would you want? If you don't know, would you want to know? Simple question. I believe that you know, but you can't assume that you know, or they know. Don't take it for granted, guys. I'm serious. They'll die. And you may never see him again. But a joy in your heart and God's life and stuff knows that they're going to spend eternity with him. And look, whatever they've done in their past, or whatever they're doing now, they could still be trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for his sins and died and buried and rose again. And they're going to spend eternity with you. And you're not going to bring that up. You're not going to worry about, well, he did me wrong in 1973. You know, he ratted on me. You know, that type of thing. You ain't going to have those thoughts in front of you. Because what happens if you brought those thoughts in the ages to come? In the heavenly purpose?
Sin reigns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would start all over again.
You're still tempted though, right?
You are now. Yeah, the temptation is there. But I'm talking about people that you think they're not saved or could be saved and they're still doing things that not pleasing to the Lord. That's between them and the Lord. But you need to know what's in their heart. And if they know that Christ died for their sins and buried as much as hard as it believe, if they know that, God's already saved them. Do you believe once saved, always saved? Do you? Well, if you believe that, then who can get out of that? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody. So this is what Abel came by faith. Cain came by what?
Faith.
His own righteousness. Maybe he brought the fruit of the ground. Maybe he brought some grapes up there and prayed and asked God to turn the grapes into blood. You know, you never know. But there is a religion today that tries to do that. And I don't know what he did really, but he had a system of his own good works to try to gain favor with God. God, you made me a tiller of the ground. My dad was a tiller of the ground. If it was good enough for him, it could be good enough for me. So here's my sacrifice. Now, y'all know a little bit about sacrifices without going too much into it. But when they offered the sacrifice in the temple, what did God want?
The bloodshed.
Not only bloodshed, but the fat. A sweet smelling. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like fat on a steak.
I do.
Yeah, you do. You do. I've got kinfolk that would gnaw on that piece of fat half a day, and
no,
I'm like, well, the other night went out, and you know what prime rib is? You know it got a lot of that ribbon in it, right? A lot of fat. And I'm every time I go out, they had a special, so I said, give me one. I said, can you ask to find me one without a lot of fat? And they said, we'd do the best. And they had one that was grilled. You know, they grilled it, and then they had this covering that hid everything. So you know what I did? I flipped it over. I flipped it over. So I cut in between. But I ate that first piece. How in the world do you eat it? You can't. So I'm taking my napkin very nicely, you know, and putting it on. Before I just go, poof, you know, I'm like, but God wanted the fat.
Yes, he did.
What did he do with the lean part? Who ate that?
The priest.
But that sweet smell and savor. And listen, you know what fatback is?
Yeah.
What do you do with fatback?
You eat it.
You fry it. You use it for grease. It gives that flavor and it gives that smell and all that stuff. But the thing is, that's what he didn't bring. God wanted that sacrifice, so he, listen. Well, let's move on. That's religion. That's what religion does. Look at me. I'm bringing the best that I can bring. And y'all seen that in religion. Y'all been around. Y'all seen so-and-so sitting on the front pew because he donates, you know, blah, blah, blah. And here I'm sitting back there in the back thinking, maybe one day I'll be up there with him. And I'm going to work my way up there. You know the only thing I've worked my way up in religion is? Just realize I've been beat down by it, one. It didn't matter. But I started back there in that back row as a back row Baptist. And then these men came to me with this message. And I started believing the words over the works. And I went from back there to right here. That's the only way I worked up through this word. And it was the doctrine that changed me. Mm-hmm. And if it can change me, it can change you. And it can change people listening out there. It's the word that changes people. It's not the circumstances. It's not what you bring. Now, once you get in this word and rightly divide it into what you bring, it's going to be pleasing to the Lord, right? We want people that out there that are working for the Lord. We want people working in the ministry and all that. But that's religion, what Cain did. That is the way of Cain. And they're trying to get to God on the basis of your works. But salvation is what God gives the sinner who knows that he can justify him. That is the difference between doing it your way and doing it God's way. And it's a difference between Cain and Abel. It started in the garden. Hey, hath God not said? You want to be as gods? We looked at that. And Eve's like, they're flying around out there. They're doing their own thing. Maybe that human viewpoint. Maybe God will accept this. He will not accept it. Hey, I may be wrong, but I do believe this. If you're a lost man, don't matter how old you are, woman, if you're unsaved, is God listening to you? You ever thought about that? You hear people saying, I pray to God, I pray to God. My first response, when I said, what God are you praying to? Oh, you know which one I'm talking about. No, tell me which one you're talking about. You can be as gods. There's more than one God out there. So what I'm getting at is, until you trust Christ died for your spirit's cut off to God. Was Cain and Abel's spirit cut off from God? They're going to die spiritually. They died spiritually. So they're bringing by faith, right? The fellowship to understand God's, I can talk to God Almighty today. I don't need a priest. I don't need to go through no board. You can talk to God Almighty, and that's what prayer is about. You know, we talked about when we got to understand this message. I don't know about you guys. My prayer life went, I was praying for everything. You know, everything. Lord, pray, you know, grass to grow, get the rain, the snow, you know, cats, dogs, anything. But when you understand the Word of God rightly divided, your even your prayer life changes. And you should know what God's will is and how to pray. Now, you can pray about anything you want to. You're talking to God. And I know we had some people here that's like, well, you know, you ask for prayer requests all the time, expecting God's doing something, but you don't think God can do something. That type of thing. I'm like, no. It tells us to make all things known to God. And what does it do? It makes your grass grow. It gets that car fixed. It gets you a new job. It makes more green beans. Right? Wrong. It brings us peace. And that's what we're looking for when we're dealing with people. Right? We need peace, guys. We need peace in our soul. And that's a hard thing to deal with. Especially when all this world calamity is going around you and you don't know which way to go and all that stuff. You don't know when you're going to get hacked. Got to share this with you right quick. Got a letter. You know what the great thing about the internet is?
Instant.
Nothing. Other than that, you can get hacked by just putting your name in there. So when these people talk about getting hacked politically and whatever, it's real. So I get a letter from the, Sherry gets a letter, I get a letter. Saying their bank account's been hacked.
Our banking system.
System, yeah.
The whole bank.
They got my name. They got my address. They got my routing. And they got my account number. But they want you to call this number so they can verify. Not only verify, they'll give you 1 year of fraud monitoring. I told Sherry, I said, no, you know, what we do is go pull our money out and open a new account. So I went in there Wednesday or Thursday when it was. I said, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. Do I need to talk to a banker? Yeah. She said, they just got your checking account. They didn't do your savings and all that stuff. I'm like, She said, you can open up another account if you want to, that type of thing. They ain't no wanting to about it. They already got it. But you got to monitor. Now you got to go watch your stuff because why is that $70-some going out of that bank over here? That's something I didn't buy. That's the system. And you're going to put faith in that system, right? You're going to do everything. No, you're like, no. So you got to, everything in your life you're going to have to do, you're going to have to do the right way and the right decision. Genesis 4:4 says, and Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. He brought the very best that he had, the finest, the first thing, didn't he? And you ever see a newborn lamb or a goat or just something newborn? Don't they look precious? You know what I mean? Just adorable and you know, no blemishes on them and They're just so like, cute. Yeah, they really are. And you're like, oh. And he's going to bring that first lien to them. I don't know if he named it. You know, I don't know if he kept it on it. But where did he bring it to?
God.
He brought it to the place in Genesis 3:24. Exodus chapter 25, right quick. Go to Exodus chapter 25. We'll get a few verses in this. In Exodus 25, verse 8, we will see how this works out later on. God is giving Moses instructions about building the tabernacle. And he's telling him what to put in the tabernacle. Exodus, you got Genesis, Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, chapter 25. Verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I'll show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so shall ye make it. And they shall make me an ark of smitten wood. That's verse 10. Verse 17. And they shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. In other words, there's an ark. It's a box like a cedar chest with a lid on it that you can open up and look inside. Inside that, what they put in there?
Sacrifice.
Not inside of it. What did Moses put in there?
Oh, the Ark of the Covenant.
But what did he put in there?
The Word.
He put the tables of stones, the Ten Commandments, right? They put a little pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded in it. And they made the thing and overlaid it with gold. And the seat on top is what? What's a mercy seat made out of? Gold, yes. Verse 18. And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold. There's a cherubim on one side and a cherubim on the other side. The cherubim are to be looking down at the mercy seat. And that is the way their eyes are to be fixed. Verse 22. And there I will meet with thee and will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things, which I'll give thee in commandments unto the children of who?
Israel.
God Almighty was to meet them between the cherubims at the mercy seat. That is the way where his Shekinah glory was to appear. He personally manifests. Station was there. So you think about it, you had Adam and Eve was out of the garden, right? And God's presence is that when they was cast out of the garden, what did God seal that gate up with?
Cherubims.
In the presence of the gate of Eden, that's where the altar was. And then the flood came, then Noah came, and you know, the two Israel, the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. All these things was a progression of what we just went over in. But think about it a minute. Here is Adam and Eve coming out of the garden. They are out now, right? They're in the place on earth where they go to worship God. Because God didn't come down there and walk with them no more, did he? You don't have no records of that. But they know where God was. And God's presence is there between the cherubims. That's the right there. Cain and Abel came before the altar and the presence and the sacrifice and the offerings to the Lord. And the thing where the altar was remains on the earth until the time of the flood. That's always struck me like, whoa. Adam to the flood, that mercy seat was there. That offering place was there. So all them descendants knew exactly what to do and what to bring. And then when the flood came, the altar is removed away back into heaven. And when Noah gets off the boat, he builds an altar unto the Lord, don't he? And first time in your Bible, you'll hear a burnt offering that ascends up to the Lord is in Genesis chapter 8, after Noah gets off the boat. Otherwise, it was right there. And this thing, where the gate of Edom altar is on the earth until the flood, they, Adam, etc., brought their burnt sacrifice, the offerings there where the Lord was. And they come and called upon the name of the Lord in that place, in Eden, where God is dwelling in the midst until he goes away. And he goes away, and then the flood takes place, and now the offering of the sacrifice is Noah's offering. And that ascends up to God into the heaven. When Israel comes along, God says he would send his manifestation back down on the earth and dwell with the nation of Israel in where? Jerusalem. What did we just talk about in Exodus chapter 25? What was they building? A tabernacle. He comes down and in that tabernacle. So that's where you have there about Israel is reestablishing the thing that was over there. In the garden. So now they got the presence of God back with them on this earth. And you get over there about how the things operate. And you know, we don't have much details about God's presence at the altar at the gate of Edom. You know that. And God isn't interested in filling us with the details back over there. But we see that these people do this by faith. They're coming back over there by faith. They're wanting to do what Abel did. They want to come to sacrifice. They don't want to go the way to Cain. And so then faith coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. And we find it written down in the Word of God over there. So we understand some of these things that was going on back over there by what is later is written down. And come back to Genesis chapter 4 right quick. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. Abel brings the sacrifice down the road that leads to the Lord's presence. He sprinkles the blood there between the cherubims. God came down and accepted that sacrifice. Next lesson, we'll continue with this. Because Leviticus chapter 9 and Psalms chapter 20 will bring you to understanding what they did there. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.